Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hi, I'm Rob West. Jesus giving the Great Commission to his disciples in Matthew 28 should be a constant reminder to support mission work, especially if you're not the one going. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So the other day, our team came across a great article by the Gospel Coalition about how those of us left behind can best support mission work in the field, and I want to go over several of them. Interestingly, not included in the list is sending short-term teams, like a church might put together over a spring or summer break. The article points out that while these short-term teams spring from a sincere desire to help, and most certainly do, no question about that, but they need to be carefully coordinated with the folks in the field so as to not distract them from ongoing ministry. Just hosting a church team may put a strain on missionaries with limited resources. So what should we do then to help our missionaries? Well, obviously, first is regular prayer and letting your missionaries know that you're praying for them in their work. If a missionary sends you a prayer request by email, make sure you read it carefully and follow up with prayer during service. Let the request be known in your regular church email to members also. Next comes financial support. And while the occasional single donation is always appreciated, churches and individuals need to commit to regular and consistent financial support for their missionaries. This is crucial for eliminating the worry that missionaries often have about maintaining their support and whether they'll be sent home to raise funds, something that most missionaries dread having to do. Their work isn't easy on a good day without having to worry about future funding. They face daily cultural and linguistic differences, resistance, even persecution, and often harsh living conditions. We can take away at least one of their concerns with regular funding. And keep in mind that financial support blesses you as well as your missionaries. Okay, next on the list is doing something about homesickness that often plagues missionaries. The article recommends sending an occasional care package to your missionaries. First, ask them if there's anything they need or miss from home. This could range from sermon development materials to foods, spices, toys, and games. Pack them up and send those packages overseas to bless your missionaries. The next way to help them is during their furloughs or home assignments. Often these aren't particularly restful times for missionaries. They have to cope with cultural transition and all of the logistical problems of returning home. Well, you can help your missionaries cope with the stress of returning home in any number of ways, like donating frequent flyer miles, picking them up at the airport, setting up housing for them, finding a car they can borrow while they're home, or help with childcare if they have to make rounds to several supporting churches. You may have a professional skill you can provide at no cost, like medical or legal assistance. In short, make their needs known to your church and encourage members to volunteer their time and other resources. Now, if you really want to visit a missionary overseas, make it a vision trip where you try to acquaint yourself with the area and work that's underway. You can then return home and share that vision with your fellow church members to encourage more and faithful support. If you are planning a short-term team visit, don't go into it with any preconceived notions about the kind of help that's needed. Be sure to consult with your missionary about what kind of work will really be helpful. And if a monsoon hits while you're there, well, be ready to scrap your plans and help mop up. When a catastrophic earthquake hit Haiti in 2010, short-term missionaries who thought they'd be helping with building projects found themselves helping medical missionaries treat victims. The next item on the list is being or sending a medium-term missionary. This may be something for retirees to consider if they're financially able to spend 1 or 2 years in the field. That's enough time to learn a language and make a significant contribution. Medium-term missionaries are able to forge meaningful relationships with locals that will help sustain the ministry in the long run. Even just the ability to teach English to locals served by the ministry could be a big help. So you see, there are plenty of ways you can support missionaries. Hebrews 13:16 tells us, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
On American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. If you think the world's going crazy now, just wait. It may be about to get way crazier. There's a lot more going on than what we're hearing in our scripted news reports, with agendas that have nothing to do with curing a virus or solving racial tensions. To the contrary, both are excuses to permeate America with fear and confusion. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. If you're caught up in the fear of this world, you're not caught up in the mind of God. God's peace comes from knowing He has everything under control, and His timing is perfect. Huge numbers of people are coming to the Lord because of the fear and confusion. And you have this moment to use those same forces to lead your unsaved friends to the Lord. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, if you think about our role as stewards, our objective is to be found faithful. That's right. God owns it all. And so as a steward or a manager, we should know the heart of the master that we're serving. And as we manage the master's resources, we attempt to reflect His heart and how we manage it. It all belongs to Him anyway. Well, where do we go? Well, His Word is how we pull out the principles to apply to how we manage money on a daily basis. Not cherry-picking a verse here and a verse there, but really looking at the counsel of Scripture to understand the heart of God as it relates to managing His money. Here's what we recognize. Money issues are heart issues. And so as we manage money, we realize that we're working out our values and our priorities. That's right. The way we handle money is one of the clearest indicators into what we value and ultimately where we're at spiritually. So it's bigger than just the money. And yet, God's Word is very practical as we deal with decisions each day related to holding His money loosely, living with contentment, managing it faithfully, providing, enjoying, all the things that we see in Scripture. But doing that with surrender at the forefront, on our knees, saying, God, what would you have me to do with your money? How much is enough for my lifestyle? How much is enough for my accumulation? Am I taking my cues from you or the world? Am I caught up in the comparison trap of others? These are all the things I think we need to wrestle with as we manage God's money as stewards of His resources. Well, let's head to the phones. Allentown, PA. Louise, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello. I'm retired, and I'm already on Social Security, and I'll be 65 in November. I got my official card and paperwork from Medicare.
Okay.
And my questions are, I guess, my husband is younger, and he's going to be working for at least 4+ years longer. I'm already on his very good benefits, which do not cost him anything more, whether I'm on them or not.
Yeah.
So my is, do I really need to pay that $170.10 for Part B, or can I skip paying that for the next 4 years without penalty?
Yes, you can skip paying that. If you don't enroll in Medicare Part B, Louise, during your initial enrollment period, which happens to be 3 months before and 3 months after the month of your 65th birthday, then you would generally qualify for what they call the SEP, the special enrollment period, to sign up for Parts A and B anytime, as long as you or your spouse is working and covered by a group health plan through that employment. For people age 65 or older who have coverage through a group health plan, there's also what's considered an 8-month special enrollment period that starts the month after the employment ends or the group health plan coverage ends. And so if you sign up during that special period, you don't have to pay a late penalty, which is significant. It's an additional 20% of your monthly Medicare premium each month for as long as you live. So if you decide to enroll in Part B, which I would recommend after your husband retires, just make sure you sign up during that special enrollment period following his separation from the company.
Okay. Well, if he, say he loses his job, or say the benefits become not so good in the next 4 years, like, do I still have that option?
Yeah. So as long as you all are no longer covered under the group health care plan, you would have the option to enroll in that point.
Okay. What if I chose not to be enrolled because, like, say the deductibles go up or something like that, and it would be better for me than to be on Part B in a supplement? Could I do that, or is that a no-no? Can I just decide to be off of his benefits at any time then if I want to?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think the key would be the triggering events to allow you to have enrollment. We want to make sure that you don't have a late penalty as a part of that, and so I know you have that option when you're no longer covered. The question is a voluntary election. Let me have my team check into that just before I weigh in on that to make sure we're giving you the right counsel, and we will let you know that. Did you have a follow-up question on something else, Louise?
I did. I think it was 2 months ago I heard you talking about I-bonds, and I heard you say there's a 7% yield, and I didn't catch, is that for any of us, or how do I get that?
Yeah, so with the I-bonds, you have the ability to buy up to $10,000 in a calendar year. You'd get them directly from the Treasury, and they're electronic. The I stands for inflation. They're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And because of what's going on with inflation right now, it's paying a very attractive rate of 9.62%. Now, that's good through the end of October. It will adjust based on CPI, and the new rate will come out in November. But it'll still be very good. You've got to hold them for at least a year, and you can buy, again, up to $10,000 in electronic I-bonds per person per calendar year. So I wouldn't put your emergency fund in it, Louise, just because you can't get to it for a year and you can't use qualified money. So we're not talking about money in an IRA or a retirement account. But if you have other funds available, it's a very attractive rate with very low risk, and it would be a great option for you. You'd go to treasurydirect.gov, click on the Series I bonds. You'd open an account, transfer the funds in, and you'd be all set.
Directory, treasurydirectory.gov, and click on I-bonds.
A slight adjustment to what you just said. So treasurydirect.gov, not directory, treasurydirect.gov, and then just click on the Series I-bonds, and it's very self-explanatory there on the website.
Is it? Okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
Great.
And we'll check into that voluntary removal from your husband's plan. If you decided just to, not because of separation, not because the group health care plan was no longer available, but you just decided, you know what, I'd rather get into Medicare Part B, whether that's a triggering event that would allow you to do that and still not have that penalty. And we'll weigh in on that in just a bit. Louise, thank you for calling today and checking in with us. God bless you. A quick email before we head to our first break. This one simply says, I'm a nurse looking for a place to live. I'm 62 and no debt, looking to retire at 67. Is it too late for me to get a mortgage? And what I would say to you, Pam, is that your age doesn't matter. The question is whether you want to take on the responsibility of maintaining a house and whether you'll be able to make the payments after you retire. Ideally, you'd want 20% going in, and you wouldn't want a mortgage payment of more than 25% of your take-home pay or whatever your income will be in retirement. So let's just not get ahead of yourself financially, but if you have the financial means, the income, the down payment, you consult with a real estate agent on it before you do it. I'd say there's no problem in taking on a mortgage. The key is your ability to pay. By the way, you can post in our MoneyWise community if you would like to. You'll find it in the MoneyWise app. When you download the app in your app store, just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. When you create a free account, you can post away and you'll hear from others in our MoneyWise community. You'll also hear from our MoneyWise coaches as well. It's all there inside the MoneyWise app. You'll also find our community, the same one that appears in the app, is on our website as well. So if you'd rather get to it through a desktop, you can do that as well. Just head to moneywise.org, click on the button that simply says community. That's moneywise.org. Community is the button to push, and you will be right there. We'll look forward to hearing from you in the community. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at moneywise.org.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. Let's head back to the phones. Marie's in Akron, Ohio. Marie, thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
So I have about $7,200 in credit card debt. And I am considering taking out a personal loan. I really don't want to do debt management at all. But the other side of that is I go on maternity leave in November, and that'll be 3 months of unpaid leave. So I'm trying to free up as much of my debt as possible. I'm not going according to my budget, which I definitely know I need to get back to. But I think I'm just more so worried about the credit card debt that I have.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to me about the reason you're not interested in debt management, and that's okay. I'm just curious.
I guess just an article I read about the downside to it of how it affects your credit. So like right now, I mean, I'm paying all my credit card bills on time, and I pay more than the minimum. It's just not quite making a dent like I'd like to. So no. I don't want my credit report to take a hit. I have quite a few medical bills that I'm trying to, that I need to get worked out as well.
Okay. Yeah, keep in mind, you know, a couple of thoughts. Number one is with credit counseling, with debt management, which is different than debt settlement, where you allow them to get into a delinquent status with the hopes that you can negotiate a repayment at a discount. With debt management, there's two things that could be held against you. Number one is the accounts will be closed. So that comes out of the credit mix. And then the second is it will be noted that you're in a debt management program. But the fact that you're in a credit counseling program or a debt management program in and of itself is not a part of the credit scoring algorithms. And in my view, it's worth it because of the reduction in the interest rates and the level monthly payments that allow you on average to get out 80% faster. It's worth it to go down that road. But if you said, Rob, give me another option, just take that one off the table. What else? What I do. You know, the challenge, Marie, is that if you're going to replace the debt with more debt, you know, I just have seen too many times where that becomes problematic, either because even though we're getting the interest rate down, we extend the repayment term out a long ways, number one, which ends up allowing us to pay it over time, over a longer period of time, and therefore we end up likely paying more interest, or we get the payment down so low that we just kind of accept the debt and stop, you know, being as aggressive in paying it off. And, you know, the result of that is over time, you know, we may perhaps continue to live beyond our means. And oftentimes 6 to 12 months later, we've got this new loan that we've taken out that we've figured out how to absorb into the budget because it's pretty cost effective. And then the credit card debt's back because we haven't solved the underlying issue of the overspending. And you've already acknowledged that, you know, you've had a trouble staying on budget. So that would be my concern for you, Marie, is that we go the route of the personal loan or the consolidation loan, we end up, you know, extending the repayment period, and then we don't solve the real underlying issue, which I think with debt management allows us to do that. We cut off the credit cards, get the interest rates down, and actually get these things, you know, paid off once and for all. it's taken a little bit longer, but in doing so, we do the hard work that's going to establish the habit and the rhythms that I think ultimately are going to lead you to financial success. But with that said, I do want to hear your thoughts, you know, and questions on that.
So my thought was with my credit cards is either to put them in my safe and lock them up or just cut them up completely and just do the loan and pay them down. That way I don't have access to my cards.
And what kind of loan and terms are you looking at?
I haven't actually looked into it yet. I was going to check with my bank and credit union to see like who would give me a better rate.
Okay.
And then just kind of go from there, but at least enough to cover the credit card debt. So that's taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you certainly could do that. I guess I would just heed the warnings that I shared, and I'll just, you know, finish by saying I really think it just in doing this a long, long time, the thing that's going to lead to you establishing the right disciplines and rhythms moving forward is not going to be a consolidation loan with new debt. I think you're going to end up spending more in the long run, and I just am fearful that you're going to call me back at some point in the future and tell me the credit card debt is back in addition to this new loan. So if it were me, despite the very minor, you know, implications to your credit, which are minor because it's not a part of the actual scoring algorithm, I would go debt management, at least call and talk to my friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org and check it out before you make your final decision. But we'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom, Marie, as you navigate this. And we appreciate your call today. God bless you. To Collinsville, Illinois, John, thank you for your call. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. I am so tired of paying taxes. I wanted to know, and I'm getting ready to retire and take my retirement. How much money in retirement can I make and not have to file?
Yeah, well, the minimum for a single filing status under the age of 65 is $12,500. But what would your age be at this point?
It'll be 65.
Okay, 65 or older, it would be $14,250. So if you get over that as a single filer, you would then have to look at paying some taxes. So that would be kind of the magic number you'd need to look at.
Okay. Also, now my wife and I normally file joint, and she's not retiring right now.
Okay.
So
that would be 25 taxes. Yeah, $25,100 if you are married filing jointly. So that would be what you'd want to look at there. I would check with your tax preparer. You know, I certainly understand that you want to try to pay as little tax as possible, and I get that. And so, you know, certainly could look at other options for how you could reduce that. Bottom line is, you know, when we pay taxes, it's symptomatic of God's provision. So we don't want to pay any more than we have to by any means. But at the end of the day, if we pay some, I think it was just a recognition that God has provided some income for you. But you could certainly check with a tax preparer on ways to minimize that. One of those being charitable deductions, if you can itemize. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more Money Wise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
You probably have a strength for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Picture a stormy sea. The waves are rolling viciously and the sky is darker than night. The crack of thunder can be heard over the roaring wind. A tiny ship is thrown wildly up and down as it rides the waves. The crew is just about to lose hope when someone spots a sudden flash in the distance. A lighthouse.
Lighthouse for the Lost, an article by Parker May. To read this article, visit EngageMagazine.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, we're thrilled you've joined us this morning for MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Let's head back to the phone, Chicago, Illinois, WMBI. Jackie, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes. I was just calling. I've been hearing from different people that I can actually get rid of the, I thought it was called home insurance that I have from my mortgage loan. It's like a loan insurance, FHA loan. I was hearing that I can get rid of that if I have, like, insurance already from Allstate. I already have Allstate insurance. So I was just trying to see, is that something, they said, like, I've heard different people say you don't have to have the homeowner's insurance if you have insurance through someone else already. And I just wanted to make sure of that before I did anything.
Okay. Yeah, the question is what type of insurance you're talking about. So there's homeowner's insurance, which protects you as the homeowner against claims against the property. If you have damage or you need something replaced, you have some sort of loss related to the property, you absolutely need that. With an FHA mortgage, you have something else called a mortgage insurance premium, and it actually protects the home against the risk that you default. It protects the insurer against the risk that you default or stop making payments on your FHA loan. So the Federal Housing Administration, or FHA, insures your FHA loan in the event this happens and you wind up being unable to pay it back. And the premium for that is what covers the cost of that insurance. Now, you have the ability in some cases to drop that MIP, the mortgage insurance premium, and it has to do with the origination date of your loan. So does that help to clarify which you're talking about? Is it the mortgage insurance that's covering your inability to pay, which really does nothing for you, or the homeowner's insurance, which is the policy you need to cover you in the event of a loss related to your home?
Okay, so I guess I was referring to the mortgage insurance that that I didn't have to have. I can get rid of.
Yes, so you do want to get rid of that if you can. Do you know when the origination date was of your loan? What year?
2011.
Okay, so if you fall in the between 2001 and June of 3rd of 2013, it will be automatically canceled once you reach a loan-to-value ratio of 78%. So if you take the original, amount that you borrowed times 78%, that would be the balance that you would need to pay it down to, and at which point you would automatically have that mortgage insurance premium canceled.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much for that.
You are welcome, Jackie. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. Let me take a quick email, if we can. We get emails all the time at questions@moneywise.org. And this one comes to us from Marlene. Marlene said, do I need a credit card if I'm married? Here's the question. Marlene says, I'm 57 years old and recently retired. I work part-time and get a small pension. My husband and I have been married for 35 years and our house is paid for. All the utilities are in his name, and I haven't had a credit card in years, so I have no credit. I just looked at my score for the first time in my life, and it's a 639. I'd like to get a card for emergencies. I applied for a credit card and was denied, not because of bad credit, but because of no credit history. I'd like to know how I proceed from here. And Marlene, it is wise to establish credit in your own name in the event your husband passes away. You can start by getting what we call a secured credit card in your name only. You would deposit $300 to, let's say, $500 in that account with the bank, and you're allowed to charge up to that amount, but don't. You'll want to make one budgeted purchase a month that's less than 30% of your credit limit, and then pay that amount off in full each month. When you do that, Marlene, your score will begin to rise, and in time, you'll be able to qualify for an unsecured card, which is, I think, a good idea, especially if you're a spouse and your only access to credit is as an authorized user. Keep in mind, if your spouse were to pass away, that card would be canceled and you'd be left perhaps without a convenient way to pay for things. So what Marlene is describing here and establishing credit in her name through my suggestion of a secured credit card makes a lot of sense for married couples. Marlene, we appreciate you sending us that email. Back to the phones we go. Leo in Spokane, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
There you are. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, my daughter and son-in-law allowed me to help them with their debt, and we're attacking that. But what I'm concerned about is how do we address the way they got into it? In other words, they both tend to be spenders. Yeah. And I'm hoping there's scripture or some common sense, or as you recommended to the previous caller, the Christian credit counselor. Now, are they available around the country like the CKA, or are they helped over the phone?
Yeah, you would do it over the phone. They're based out of California, but their clients are all over the U.S. Yeah, I think the key here, Leo, and I'm delighted to hear that you want to help your son and daughter-in-law get on top of this. The key is really them being willing to establish the right disciplines, and it begins with that family budget. So one of our coaches may be a good resource for this. There's no cost, but you know, them taking time to take a step back and just saying, you know what, as stewards of God's resources, we need to live within God's provision. We need to do that with contentment and a willingness to live on a plan, giving every dollar a name, because even though debt allows us practically to live outside of God's provision, that's not what God desires for us as we manage his money. And that's going to lead over time to real problems, not only financially, but in their marriage and otherwise. And so it really comes back to, first of all, just establishing this idea that we recognize God owns it all and we're stewards and we want to be found faithful as managers of the king's resources. And then putting that spending plan in place where they actually track their spending for 30 or 60 or 90 days and get that budget down either electronically or on paper. And then once they work through it and make those hard decisions, where to cut back to get it to balance so that they have some margin, you know, building up a $1,500 emergency fund while they pay the minimums on the credit cards, and then locking that emergency fund at that point at $1,500 and putting every available extra dollar beyond the minimum payments that they have in their budget directly to those credit cards so they can pay them off. Now, credit counseling will be a great resource as a part of that because it gets the interest rates down. And that's what's so difficult with credit cards, especially now as rates are heading up. Credit card interest is very high, which makes it really challenging to pay it back, and it's very costly. So if you reach out to our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, they'll actually help them put a spending plan together, tell them how low they can get those interest rates, and come up with one fixed monthly payment that fits into their budget that allows them to pay this on average 80% faster. So Leo, ChristianCreditCounselors.org, stay on the line. I also want to send you a book, Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts, to pass on to them that I think will be a real blessing to them. It's our gift to them. We appreciate your call. Let me issue a special invitation to you. If you've benefited from the principles and practical advice that we share every day on this program, maybe you've connected with a MoneyWise coach, or you use the MoneyWise app, or you read our MoneyWise weekly wisdom email. Well, all of that is possible only because of your financial support. And I would just ask whether you would consider a gift. Just head to MoneyWise.org. You can give online, you can give over the phone, or you can give electronically there. Again, MoneyWise.org, and thanks in advance. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
Today's issues.
I think they went in to try to get anything they could. Mm-hmm. See whatever they could come up with that maybe would be problematic for President Trump. So to that extent, I think it's fishing expedition.
You know the old expression, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to get permission? Okay, maybe we can't prosecute Trump on what we found, but we can sure blast it in the media.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
People like J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis believed that imaginary stories could help remove the familiar so we can better understand life's greater story, the story of Jesus. I'm Charles Morris. Join me this week on Haven Today with Joseph LeConte and a series called The Power Behind Tolkien.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at MoneyWise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
We're grateful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Let's head back to the phones. Chicago, Illinois. Sue, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I was calling. I'm looking at retiring next year, and I'll be 66 then. And I have a loan out on my 401k. And I was wondering, because next year it will not be paid off, I always thought that they would just deduct that, you know, from what is available for me. And I was listening to the radio, so when everybody's asking these questions, I was like, I need to find out if they're actually gonna, or do I have to pay that off beforehand?
Yeah, it's a great question, Sue. And basically, the answer is if you separate from the company with an outstanding loan, and therefore it's not repaid, including the interest, any unpaid amount would become a planned distribution to you. So it'd be as if you called them and said, I want to take a distribution from the account, which means that it's subject to income taxes. So it'll be added to your taxable income in the year of the distribution. And then secondly, if you're under 59 and a half, you'd have a 10% penalty. So that will likely be the case. It's always good to check in on your specific plan just to see what the terms are of the actual 401k and the loan that you have. But that's likely to be the case. It would just be considered a distribution at that point.
Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Very good, Sue. Thank you for calling today. God bless you and all the best to you as you retire here in the days ahead. Salem, Ohio, Roland, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what I've only got a couple thousand dollars, and I was wondering what kind of investment would help me build up.
Yeah, so the first thing I would ask, Roland, is whether you have what I call an emergency fund. So this would be a liquid savings account that would be for the unexpected, which could be a job loss, could be a washing machine going out like I had just the other day, or any number of other expenses that you didn't plan for or couldn't have planned for. I'd recommend you have 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses in a liquid savings account. And so if you don't have that, then I would say this excess of $2,000 is the beginning of that emergency fund. And I'd actually get it out of your checking account and put it into a high yield savings account, an online savings account, so that it's separate and it doesn't get spent. And build that up over time, perhaps setting up a systematic transfer of any margin or excess you have after your bills are paid each month into that account until it reaches 3 to 6 months expenses. Does that make sense? And would this be the only surplus savings that you have, or is this in addition to an emergency fund that you already started?
No. Emergency fund that I had, I used when I retired.
Okay. I see. Yeah. So I think from that standpoint, I wouldn't be investing this, because money that gets invested, Roland, we really don't want to have to touch it for at least 5, preferably 10 years or more, because if we get into a season like we're in right now, where we're now in a technical bear market, down 20% plus on the major indexes from recent highs on the stock market, we don't want to have to pull or sell investments in order to cover an unexpected expense. So this is a great opportunity for you right now to really focus on not investing that money, but getting it into a savings account and build it up to 3 to 6 months expenses on a monthly systematic basis. And I would look at Ally Bank, Marcus, or Capital One 360. All those will give you a free savings account with interest rates of nearly 1%, probably 0.8 right now. Hopefully that's helpful to you. We appreciate your call. Ohio is where we'll go next. Ron, thank you for calling. I understand you have a question about the stock market.
Yes, from 7 last year, July, till this year, I've gone from 1.6 million to 1.3 million, and I paid $10,000 to do the, to handle that. Have some money in I bonds and some more money besides that. I am a born again Christian. Everything I don't own anything. God owns everything.
Yes.
And I'd like to know if you think I should be getting out of the market or.
A bit more color commentary here. What did you say your age is, Ron?
75. I'll be 76 in December.
Great. And what do you say you have in the market right now? What's the total portfolio?
1.3 plus.
Okay, and million. What was it prior to the pullback?
A year ago, it was 1.6.
Okay, all right. So you had a $1.6 million portfolio down to 1.3. So you're down about 20%, which is what the market's down as well. Are you pulling an income from this, or is it really just capital appreciation that's your focus?
No, I guess you'd call it capital appreciation.
Okay, so you really don't need this money to live on. This is just there for your heirs or charity?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and do you have a sense of, is this 100% allocated to stocks, or is there some bonds in there, and what's the mix?
As far as I know, I would say it's a mix, I would call it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. And the challenge we've had in this environment is while the market was headed down, interest rates were going up, so bond prices were falling too. So it's kind of a double whammy. You know, I still think being long the market is the best approach to overcome inflation, especially in a situation like you're in where you don't need the money right now. Obviously, you want it there to fall back on if you needed it down the road. The Lord may lead you to do something with it at some point, give it away or use it to, you know, give to heirs. I mean, there's really only three things we can do with it. Once he calls us home, give it to the government or heirs or ministry charity. And so I think the question is, how can you be the most responsible and faithful steward of these resources while you have them? You've sought wise counsel. We're just in a season right now that despite the incredible gains we've had over the last decade plus, where the market's down. Well, we're potentially in a recession or certainly heading toward one. Most expect it'll be mild and the market will recover quicker than the economy. So if I were you, Ron, just knowing the little bit that I know here today, and that doesn't replace a really well thought out, you know, financial plan, but just knowing what I know today, I would say you don't need the money. I think you have the right perspective on this, which is key, is that God owns it all and you're being wise with it. You're not putting it into highly concentrated investments and speculating and trying to get rich quick. I'd say you ride out this market. I think the market will recover. We've seen some strength recently. Now, could we retest our lows? Absolutely. Could we go lower? Yes, especially if we do get into a full-blown recession and we see some of these other headwinds play out. But I do think we'll recover. I think the market will recover. Longer term, I think we have some bigger issues in this country we'll have to solve. But I think for you, perhaps the time to reevaluate your portfolio construction and whether you're too aggressive and whether you, you know, maybe need to get more conservative is once this recovers, probably sometime next year, look at just saying, you know, given what I just went through, is it time to get more conservative? You certainly don't want to get to a place where you don't have peace of mind about this. And I hear a little bit of that in your voice. So I would stay the course. You've got wise counsel. Yes, it's down, but that's not to be unexpected in a market like we're in. And I think once it recovers, I think that's the time to look at it and just say, maybe this is a time to get a bit more conservative. But I certainly wouldn't wholesale get out of the market right here if it were me. But at the end of the day, you're the steward and need to make those final decisions. So make it a matter of prayer. And Ron, I think if it were me, I would just stay the course. We appreciate you checking in with us today. God bless you, my friend. Hey, before we wrap up today, I mentioned remarks from our friend Larry Burkett on the topic of getting rich quick. You know, one of the challenges we have in a market like this when we have downside is a lot of folks will try to make up for that with get rich quick mentalities. Well, Larry Burkett once said, listen to this, getting rich quick, that type of thinking leads to three errors: getting involved in things you can't understand, risking funds you can't afford to lose, that is borrowed funds, and third, making hasty decisions. You know, each one of those violates one or more biblical principles. Take getting involved with things you don't understand. Well, Proverbs 24 verses 3 and 4 says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. An example of getting involved in things you don't understand could be those that are investing in crypto. Doesn't mean all crypto investments are that way, but certainly for those trying to jump in on a speculative market to try to make a quick buck, have seen, well, that doesn't always work out. In fact, Bitcoin is down 32% over the last 6 months, and a lot of folks have seen declines as a result of that. The second, the danger in getting rich quick is the temptation to risk money we don't have or can't afford to lose. Proverbs 27 speaks to that. It says, the prudent man sees evil and hides himself, the naive proceed and pay the penalty. The third problem is what I mentioned around hasty decisions. Well, God's word speaks to that as well. Proverbs 28:22 reminds us that a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him. So I think that's something for us to think about. I think the key is making sure that as we handle God's money, we do it in a way that allows us to be prudent and disciplined, having a well-thought-out plan, managing our emotions, making sure we have spousal unity, and not trying to chase speculative returns to make up for lost time. The best way to describe God's perspective on investing is something called steady plotting, and I think that's good wisdom. Folks, thanks for joining us on this edition of MoneyWise. So grateful to have you along with us today. I want to say thank you to my team, Pat Montague, handling our phones today. So thankful for Pat's work. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer. Jim Henry, providing me with great research and support today. And thank you for being along with us as well. Thank you for your calls and listening. Also for your kind notes and emails that we get so often. We are incredibly grateful. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. I'll be here, Lord willing, to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.